Genesis Steel offer full-service structural steel to leading industrial and residential builders across all metropolitan Melbourne and regional areas of Victoria. At Genesis Steel, we take pride in our product, service and reputation. With over 40 years industry experience, Genesis Steel manages all aspects of steel fabrication from on-site measuring, in-house drafting, fabrication through to full site installation. We work closely with our customers to deliver innovative solutions to facilitate projects of any size. For further information, please contact genesisteel.com.au or contact the company on 03 9465 1287.
Sinus, welcome to the Lions Den.
Thank you. Thanks for having us, guys. That was a good introduction, by the way.
Or as Miss Sarah Russian would say, Konopasinis.
Well, I think first things first, we need to bust open a couple of these bad boys.
Oh, you can't have an interview without Con without one of these. You'll get the best out of him. Here,
I told you, no beer, no
absolutely
interview.
And we've got to thank our major sponsor, or one of our sponsors, Mr. Jimmy Panofsky.
Oh, yes.
From the Lower Plenty Hotel.
Oh, wow.
Who's always good for a bit of product.
Yep, absolutely. And, good on him.
That's welcome, good. Mr. Opasinas.
Thanks, Dave.
It's been
about having me.
5 months in the waiting. We're probably going to break the internet tonight and Facebook and all those social media things.
Without a doubt.
But we really want to thank you. I'll just get you to move in and let's have our first gulp of drink, mate. The supporters out there.
Cheers.
Mr. Opasinas.
No worries.
All right. I think we're ready now, Con.
Okay.
Over to you, Josho.
You played 200 National League and Cup games nearly for Preston between 81 and 1988. How do you reflect on your time at the club? What do you remember from those days?
Well, basically, right from the start, as a junior player, as a young kid coming up the ranks, just watching the seniors play at the old Panch ground, I always said to myself that, you know, one day I'd love to put a Guernsey on and play for this club, and I'd end up doing that, which was fantastic, and. Along the journey, at the time, I think we've been blessed. The era that we're playing in, the era was sensational. I mean, it wasn't about the money. It was about the club. It was about the football. It was about the people, the passion, the whole thing. Just being blessed to play in that era.
I mean, you obviously set yourself a goal growing up with the club in your life. You're living, you know, around the corner from the old ground. Would you say it was more graft that got you where you were than natural ability?
Look, as a junior player, I wasn't actually much chop. So as a player, as growing up, I really had to work really hard because I knew without my fitness level and working hard, I didn't have the special attributes like a lot of the other players had. So the work ethic and everything that came with that helped me through the journey.
Do you remember your first game?
Oh, how could I forget it?
Take us through the memory of that day.
The supporters out there are waiting.
I tell you what, it was the night before. I got a phone call from one of the members saying that, listen, just front up with your bag. We're playing Footscray JUSD, and it was at Connor Reserve. I think it wasn't called Ampol Cup. It was a National League Cup, according to the
excellent Chris Terpos.
So anyway, I ended up. I didn't sleep that night, obviously, and I rocked up at the game. Now my initial thought would be I'd be on the bench, and mate, if I'm lucky enough, I'll play 5-10 minutes. I'm lucky enough, mate. I'm called up in the first 11. I'm thinking, oh no. Anyway, my second touch. This is my second touch. I knocked the ball into Claude. Claude held it up, and he was great at holding the ball up. Mm. He's just laid it off to me, and it was a good 30, at least 30 metres. Mate, I've hit this thing, and I've put it right where the cobwebs are, mate. Goal. Where the spiders live.
First game, bang.
Goal. And I had just turned 17.
Listen to these names, Con.
Yeah.
McMillan.
Yeah.
Petrovsky.
Yeah.
Gary Ward, mate. Gary Ward. Yeah. I think you're related
legend,
to him.
Legend of the game.
Dougie Brown.
Yeah.
Claude Lucchesi. Peter Ollerton. Stevie Beach. Gordon Flavelle. Yeah. Huffner, Robbie Cullen. We had Robbie on.
Oh, Robbie, an absolute Lou legend Kastner. Of the game. Yeah.
These names.
Yeah, yeah. They were big names. They were huge names. And like I said, I go back to what I was saying before, is that just blessed to be in that era. And not only that, there was other good players around. And at the time, I tell you something, guys, because I was there for quite a while, there were some good players that went through that club.
Mm.
There was some real quality. You know, we can talk about that a bit later on, the Ojakovs and, you know, George Tyler, Robbie Dunn and Ian Dobson, and you go on and on. And when you look at it, these guys were quality, and we had them.
What was training like, Con? And I know you well, but what was training like?
I tell you something, training was, it was amazing. Training was all about hard work. You know, like these days, look, the profession, they're pros now. So back then, Tuesday and a Thursday, you'd think a Tuesday would be a really hard night. Come back to Thursday, you'd nice and easy. And then a Friday, you do a few set pieces, blah, 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 and off you go. It wasn't like that, Dave. I'm telling you, the Tuesday, Thursday, even the Friday, we were working hard, the sprints, the doggies, the whole thing. It was hard work. It really was hard work.
What was the intensity like? You'd play
very much so. Yeah. That's you know, I tell you, that intensity that we brought onto the training pitch back was reflected onto the games, and even more, because the training wasn't about just, you know, because we weren't full time players. People got to understand this. When we went there for 2 hours, we had to enjoy the 2 hours and work hard for the 2 hours, to turn around after a shower and say, well, have I worked hard enough these last 2 hours? Because I don't want to fall behind, because you fall behind, because we had such a good squad, then you're back on the back foot and you're thinking, well, hold on, I don't want to lose my place here either. Yeah. So the training, go back to what you said, Dave, was very intense. And you know what? I wouldn't have had it any other way. Brilliant.
Do you feel like the experienced players sort of tested you out, tested your mettle in those sessions in the early days?
Yeah, without a doubt, without a doubt. Look, I can mention Gordon Flavelle, you know, with the young kids coming through. Mate, he was kicking lumps out of you. But the difference was, you'd have to be strong enough to stay on the park and accept it. And I tell you what, these guys respected you more for the fact that you stayed on the park than you didn't. Because I'm telling you right now, these guys took lumps off you. Like when they tackle you, they'll go right through you. And, you know, you just had to hang in. And I loved it, the competitiveness and that. And I think that's what got us through. You know, the younger players that stuck around got us right through to the end.
We had Gary Ward on, I think it was, a few weeks ago.
Love him.
He took a bit of credit for your career. He said he took you under his wing in the early days, a bit of a mentor.
Yeah, he did. I tell you what happened. I tell you, the first situation with Gary was I said to Gary, I said, my boots are knackered here. I said, do you reckon I should go to the club and ask for a new set of boots? He goes, what? You come over here, young man. Bang. And ever since then, he got me boots and he got me going with my contract negotiations. And from then on, it was just that little click there that we were pretty close. And when we played games and even after a game, after a beer and stuff, we clicked. It was brilliant. It was really good for me.
It was the first comment on social media, Gary Ward, when he found out that this bloke was coming.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved it. And we're talking the 80s, Con.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You know, we're talking a beautiful mullet down to here. Oh, yeah, beautiful black hair.
Oh, yeah, the chicks loved it, bud.
The chicks loved it.
You worry about that.
The girlies
loved it.
It's still before 9 o'clock.
And I had the Datsun 260Z.
The two-door. The black suit.
That's the one.
Black suit with a Preston logo.
Yeah, yeah.
Talk us through a Sunday coming down to BT Connor Reserve, mate. Talk us through your eyes.
Well, I tell you right now, in the mornings, I'd have something very light to eat. By the time I got into my car, to the time I got into the dressing rooms before the game, I reckon I had to go to the toilet at least a dozen times.
Just nerves?
Nerves. Not to do it. It was just purely nerves. But as you got a little bit older and that, I certainly fixed that up. But it was just amazing. It was amazing. And back with the supporters back then, mate, the gates were full. We had to lock people out at that.
Bag on your shoulder?
Oh, it was brilliant. It was brilliant. It was brilliant.
Talk us through it. Where would you park your car?
I would park. The boys would park inside. Yep. You'd get out and you'd hear all the commotion now. The boys that were coming now and you'd stay out just outside the dressing room there. And we had a little section there just for us. And you'd see all the spectators were chanting. And it was just brilliant. It was somewhere that you wanted to really be.
And describe, you're in the change room, you kit it up and you look around with the most famous faces in Preston history.
Yeah. As a young player, I do remember when I was in the dressing room, I was very, very, very focused in what was going to happen out in the park. So, and my focus was I wanted to play well enough to earn a spot to play the following week. I know that might sound really silly, but you know that was my thing, and there for about 6-7 seasons, I don't think I ever missed a game. So. And with all the superstars around me, and it made life a little bit easier too. And they were good times, and some great players that I played with.
The coaching staff these days, they tell the boys, "You are playing for Preston."
Yeah.
And there's a lot of pressure, and there's a lot of honour that comes with that.
Oh, absolutely.
For you in the Halcyon days.
Yeah.
What did you make of it? Were you aware of it? And what was it like?
I think you were aware of the fact that once you put that jumper on, you were playing for a really special club. I just you go into your own shell and all you try and do is do the best for the club and yourself. But the pressure was certainly on. The only difference is now is that the pressure's a lot more intense, only because these guys are all full-time players.
Yeah.
We were only part-timers, so even doing it part-time, you really wanted to be playing every week. You didn't want to miss out, so that was the good part about it.
What was a win like after the game? I know today the routine is a bit, you know, the Preston fans pile into the change rooms, the victory song and all that. What was it like in the 80s?
It was huge, huge. Look, obviously once you come in and the song's played without a question of doubt, but it's played for a good, you know, 30, 40, 45 minutes. And then straight after that, right, as soon as you hit the club rooms, I'm telling you. As soon as you hit the social club, you open those two front doors, I'm telling you now, it was just heaven. There was chanting and they're all over you and, mate, everyone's buying you beers and, mate, by the end of it, you're walking out absolutely rotten drunk. But the atmosphere inside the social
Kind of scene is best on ground and best off ground.
Yeah. Almost every week. Don't worry about that.
Three votes.
Yeah, yeah. But it was brilliant. It was the good thing about the social club was that, like, everyone couldn't fit in. The social club was packed.
Heaving.
I tell you what, I'm starting a petition. I tell you what, it was on. It was on for young and old. People wanted to be involved with it. And the thing is, the people were close to the players because, you know, they can come up to the table and have a chat to you and mingle and that. So it was brilliant.
The new stadium, $3 million development when it gets approved and gets started. I think guess what they got to call the bar? They've got to call it the Connop Acinas Bar.
I tell you what, I wouldn't mind being down.
I tell you. Connop, and 5%, mate.
I'm happy with free drinks.
Free drinks.
I'm happy with free alcohol. No problem about that.
Back to the football, Josh. Hey, Josh, don't get carried away with the beer here, mate. You're supposed to ask the serious questions.
All right. Let's talk about some of your coaches. I mean, we've had Billy Murray in here, but also Ernie Merrick, Anton Jontszewski, Pete Ollerton.
Yeah, look, great coaches.
Got any stories about any of them that stick out?
Look, Peter Ollerton for me was the one that gave me the opportunity, and he was, I tell you what, he was a tough bloke. It didn't matter. He had a couple of mates that he signed from a couple of clubs, but what I respected about Peter is once these guys were on the park, if they didn't perform, Peter would be the first one to tell him to say, "Well, mate, boy's not good enough. You keep, you know, that the performance goes on, you guys are out." So, and Peter was a pretty successful coach at Preston. I loved Peter, and out of all the coaches, maybe because it was my first coach coming in, I had a scare factor with Pete. Like when Pete would look at me, I'm thinking, oh shit, have I done the right thing? Maybe that ball I shouldn't have knocked and he's going to come up to me. And I was a little bit frightened of Peter, which in a way was a good thing back then. It just drove me a little bit more so. But going back to the other coaches, Bill Murray was fantastic. Bill was good. I think Bill learnt his craft at Preston and he was there for a little while, I think a couple of years at least, and he got better as the years went on. And then Ernie Merrick came into the scene and that was his first really senior job at a high level. And, mate, we had some young players. Ernie did incredibly well. We had, you know, Georgie Slivskis, George Alevsky, but the whole squad, Billy Pichalovsky, it changed. The dynamics changed. There was a lot of young players. And, mate, we were sitting pretty there for a little while. We were going great guns with Ernie.
I think we went 10 straight. That's, back half of the season.
You know what? That's spot on.
Back half of the season, and he'd go around. I was a young kid. He'd go around at all the junior coaches, and he'd help them take the junior sessions when he wasn't coaching.
Yeah, absolutely.
And look where he's come in terms of his career. Phenomenal. You mentioned the great Georgie Slivskis.
Georgie was... good boy, good player, very hard working.
I have a
player.
Coffee with him once a week, Con.
Yeah.
And he's got the
He meanest... still loves his coffee.
Mate, jeez. You should see the bloke. Tats. Oh,
has he got the big guns?
Got big guns, the chopper.
Yeah, the chopper's out.
And he comes out.
I've heard about his Harley.
Yeah, and he's
coming. It's still going.
Yeah, he's got two beautiful daughters and he drops off at the school.
George is an absolute gentleman. He's always been into the fitness side of things.
He's a nutter.
And he's still at it.
He's still
good
a
on
nutter.
Him. Good
he's
on
still
him.
Nutter and he travels to the US to watch all the boxing fights. He loves going over to Vegas for the boxing fights. And I tell you what, you wouldn't want to meet him in a dark alley at the
moment. No, good on him.
I'll tell him. I'll say, you hardly missed a game through the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, what was the key to your success in your resilience?
Look, it's funny. Because we trained three nights a week, but there was 2 years there, I was telling my mum and dad I was going to school, which obviously I wasn't. I was telling them a lot of hocus pocus, right? And still today, they still don't believe for 2 years I didn't go to school.
Up of the scholar.
That's exactly. I trained night and day. Like I trained in the morning and then I trained in the afternoon. I would run to La Trobe. I'd do my 40, 50 laps. I'd come home, rest, right? Obviously after 3:30. And then I'd go back to training. And I did that for 2 years on my own. And the third year, I did it with a player called Vlad Bozanovsky. That played at Footscray JUSD, who was an unbelievable player, skill-wise, absolute legend. I used to meet him at Middle Park. So he was at Newport, so we halfway down, and that was incredible, that.
Championship player with Footscray Just.
Yes.
Ernie Tapper, I think, was the only Sekulata who was their coach.
Seki was coach,
Luba Petrovsky went down there for the championship year.
Yes, correct.
And they brought out Vlados Storsic, I think was his name.
Well done,
who
Dave.
Who played overseas.
Great memory, Czechy. Mate. Storsic was a good player.
Bozanovsky was...
Oh, Vlad was a gun. Yeah. Look, he ended up playing for Australia. Yes, he had quite a few caps for Australia. But just a great player. He was brilliant.
Not only did he play for Australia, Con.
So did I.
Preston royalty. So did you, mate.
Yeah.
What was that like, mate?
Oh,
getting called up for the Socceroos.
Yeah, it was good. At the time, it was Eddie Thompson. Jeez, he's passed away now. Yeah. God bless his soul. But he gave me the opportunity, and the first game I played was at the MCG in front of 55,000.
Not a bad start.
It was against the Iraklis, which was a Greek mob. It was brilliant. I had my family there. It was brilliant. You wouldn't imagine that you'd ever play it, you know, at the MCG. So that probably was the pinnacle of my career, to be honest. That highlight there, and that moment when I actually walked out wearing that jumper and that was for you can't describe feelings like that, Dave. You really can't.
Do you still have the jumper?
I've got it. I've got.
Does it ever come out, Con?
It came out when we were in the World Cup. I put it in my backyard. I put it on, but it doesn't fit.
You lost a bit of weight, Con.
It's a little bit too big. Nah, definitely small. I put that on and the tracksuit. Yeah. I've even kept the jacket. I went through my jacket the other day. Have a listen to this. This is a good story. And I'm putting the jacket on. There's no way the jacket's fitting. And in my top pocket was the flight number.
And the
ticket of where we went, because we were going to Hindmarsh the second game.
Adelaide.
And I had the ticket, and I've kept the ticket with a pin. Yeah, we played Glasgow Rangers that day, and that was at Hindmarsh. That was another good experience.
Started against Glasgow?
Yeah, started against Glasgow.
How did you play? On reflection there, how did you play?
Look, I had a better game. My first game as a kid at Cliffs was okay, yeah. Nothing great. My second game was a lot better, a lot better. It was a lot more consistent. It was, and I played against some good players there too. So that was good experience.
As a footballer, are there any nights, mate, where you're asleep and some of this stuff comes back to you?
It does, Dave. That's a good question, mate. That's a very good question. I tell you what comes back to me is when I was small, picking up the balls from over the houses.
Yeah.
That little moment that I just spoke to you about playing for Australia. The other one that stuck out was when we lost to Juventus in the National League Cup final, yeah. Right in that lag when Hazy was out in the corner flag. And I said to him, tackling this bloke. He ended up coming across, I think it was Mickey P or Wade.
Robbie
got the winning
Cullen
goal.
Was playing against
yeah,
him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there are moments.
Is there one memory that's etched that just keeps coming up for you? Is there one thing in your footballing history that you go, oh, geez, it keeps coming up. And you have a little smirk.
I still have to go back to that when I was just running out in the MCG, yeah, really, because yeah. I almost like froze. I had, you know, you get goosebumps, but you also get this validation where your body just locks up a little bit, and I that feeling there is just amazing. It was good.
Let's talk about some of your memorable games for Preston as well. Yep. Looking at a 1984 game at BT Connor, scoring the winner against Heidelberg, a header.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Something I don't normally do, by the way.
The big aerial target that you are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was actually that footage of play. If you see it, it's come out from the goalkeeper, and it's come all the way out without Heidelberg actually touching the ball, and Lubez coming on an overlap. He's knocked it. He's knocked a great ball in, and Gary's got up. He's got up beautifully with a header, and I just happened to anticipate it, and the goalie and Theo's gone the left-hand way, and because I've got onto it so early, I've gone the other way, and yeah, that was a highlight. It was good.
It's so clear.
It was pretty special.
It's so clear the way he speaks.
Yeah, yeah.
It's etched in his memory.
Yeah.
Even after all the post-game beers.
But Dave, it etches in your memory even more the fact that the opposition didn't have a touch as soon as we got it from the back right up to the forward line. So there wasn't a tackle or a scrimmage. We played it out from the back. It was a Graham Hayes, Lube, an overlap header and a diving header.
Against Heidelberg, mate.
Yeah, hey, loved it, loved it.
Banged it in.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I don't know if you'll remember this moment. Brisbane.
Yeah.
Bit of a head knock.
Yeah, just a bit, just 32 stitches.
Just 32 stitches, mate. Yeah. That explains a lot of things.
Yeah, it explains it, yeah, yeah. I tell you.
Talk us through it. What happened? And what was the journey like?
Oh, I tell you what, that actually happened probably in the first 5-6 minutes. I'll never forget it. A ball's come in, it's bounced. Now I'm going for it. I'm thinking, I can either header this, but I can also clear it with a foot. But as the ball kept going, it was just getting a little bit higher. I thought, I can actually get my head to this. So as I've gone, well, the other chap's come in with his stud and he's cleaned me up. Yeah.
There's a photo of you lying on the ambulance.
In the ambulance, 32 stitches.
How old would you have been? 24, 5?
Oh, I would have a bit younger than that, I think, bud. Yeah, 23.
You look like a bubbing on the stitches. Can you remember it?
Can I remember it? Ask me how I felt after it.
How did you feel after it?
Oh, it wasn't the best, I can tell you. What about going home and meeting the old lady and she opens the door and she thinks, oh, my God. What's going on here? Yeah. She freaked right out. She goes, what the hell's going on here? There's bandages everywhere.
That means he's dead. In Macedonia. They killed my boy.
The old lady went off her tree, by the way.
Jeebus, how was that for the career, mate? You know, you were like a male model in the 80s, running around,
working down at Terry Lee's,
Preston.
Yeah, yeah.
Mate, Friday Men's night, week. Mate, I would ask my mum, can we go get some pants? And I just want to go down. Oppa would be in there. Oppa and good old Lou at Terry Lee's.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was the place you went shopping, mate, for all your pants.
Well, the thing is, around the Preston area, there was no menswear shop.
There was no shop.
So if you wanted to get dressed, we had all the gear, so... And we had a lot of good customers, good days at Terry Lee's.
Is it true a lot of the players come in and you just keep trying to flog suits to them even game day?
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah?
The ultimate salesperson.
Claude Lucchese used to be the best. He goes, mate, stop selling clothes in the dressing rooms. I used to bring suits at Connor Reserve on a Thursday night. Good days.
You're a very astute football brain. And post-football, you went on to coach.
Yeah.
And in 2005... Yep. You coached Plenty Valley Lions to their first ever championship.
Yeah.
It's their 20th year anniversary, and we don't often cross promote, but I promised John Stabb to give him a bit of a shout out because on the 9th of June, and I'm sure we're both going to be there on the 9th of June.
Absolutely.
Plenty Valley Lions is hosting its 20th anniversary at Emerald Receptions on the 8th of June, if I said that correctly. And looking forward to catching up with all the blokes. But your footballing brain as a coach was sensational, Con. Yeah. What was it like transitioning all your knowledge and your passion to the coaching environment?
Oh, look, that's something that I've always wanted to do. And when you're a player and you give so much to the game, and when you've been around great players and good coaches, all you want to do then is just acknowledge the fact that you just want to give it back, you know what I mean? But I just saw things a little bit quicker than most. Not to say that if I was to make a move, I wasn't scared to make a couple of moves in a game situation where, you know, if I had to reshuffle the back four or reshuffle the midfield, I would do it. If I thought it was fit for the side, and I did it quite a few times, Dave, which you know, and I got the results. So I saw things a little bit advanced, but the coaching side of it was brilliant. I had such a good time at Plenty Valley Lions.
I think it was a
great experience.
One of your best coaching moves, mate, would have had to be against Hume in Faulkner at the back of Faulkner there. Would have been about the 97th minute.
Are you sure it was the 97th?
97th minute, second last game.
Game,
and
yes.
I think we needed to get a point out of the game.
Correct.
At one all. We had to get 3 points.
Someone had to come on and get
come
off
on
the bench.
97th minute, Mark.
Jeez, it wasn't you, Dave,
no,
was it?
No, it was just a little bit of a whooshka there, Con.
Absolutely.
Hey, thanks for putting me on.
No, that's all right. Thanks for scoring the goal.
That's all right, buddy.
The goal was scored and the game was over. So thank you very much.
There we go. We went to the next week.
Good. That's right.
Down to the old Footscray Just.
That's right. The Chileans.
And the Argentinian with the drums beaten.
That's it.
What did you make of the emotion that day as a coach?
That was brilliant. There was a lot, there was the drums, but the whole persona of the place, you know. It was good. It was good.
Was it your experience that got that team over the line that day? Because the team came back from behind the first team.
Correct.
What was it your coaching experience that was able to manage the emotions?
Oh, I think so. I think that had a little bit to do with it. And I tweaked the side a little bit. And what's his name? John's son.
Anthony
came up forward to me. He came up to me and he goes, "Con, look, I'm not feeling the best. I've got a bit of a flu," and I just grabbed him at the back and I said, "Listen, you're putting the jumper on and you're playing, and this is the role you're playing." And I kid you not, because I had a dangerous midfield in the middle of the park. All I wanted him to do is just hassle him, just because these Chileans, once you do that, they lose the plot. Yeah. And he did such the role that he played actually won us the game. So there were the little things that I saw that a lot of people probably
absolute technician,
yeah.
Con. You're absolute technician, and we have to do a shout out because unfortunately next year one bloke we know who he is sacked you the following year.
Yeah.
The man behind the computer, who's he's one of our major people in the stadium redevelopment, Mr. John Kiriakides, but he hid behind his computer that night, I think, and had to deliver the news that you were bloody sacked at six games won, undefeated in the second year, but
that's all right. That's
what's your interest in getting back involved in football?
Dave, I'll be honest. With work, well, I'm not, you know what, forget about the work.
Still in the rag trade?
Yeah, still in the rag trade. I've decided that, you know, I'm going to spend a little bit more time with my kids, a little bit more time to myself, and, you know, I'm happy with the
better half, mate?
With the better half,
did
she
realise how big Con Opper was when you brought her into the studio tonight?
She didn't have an idea.
She had no clue, mate. She was taking photos of you, Con.
I know. Now she knows. She's overwhelmed.
Jeebus, mate, you have to take good care of you from here. She came into the studio, Josh going, shit.
Yeah, she did. The only reason she came into the studio, because I couldn't get here. I'm hopeless on the road, you know
I can tell, mate. You were wondering if Docklands had to find you.
Correct. If she didn't get here, I wouldn't have been here on time. I'll tell you that now.
Well, there's one thing we overlooked, and I think it might be a good one to round out the show on. 1985, Olympic Park, South Melbourne.
Oh,
what about that game? Four all.
Yeah. Now, you talk about games and you talk about that should have been another one. 8 goals scored, and all 8 goals were brilliant. Then into a penalty shootout and end up winning, well, I think it was 14-15 or 5-4 in the – it was 9-10. So we've scored five penalties. They scored the four. I had the last penalty because I remember, what's his name? Bobby Russell had just missed. So I come up for my fifth penalty. So if I had scored, game was over. And it was a big crowd. It was massive. It was huge. Cut a long story short, I put the winner in and all over Red Rover.
How do you come up to a penalty and pick your spot? Is it just make a decision and stick with it? Or?
Yeah, I tell you exactly what I did. I grabbed the ball, I put it on the penalty spot. I could vision it now. I walked back, and as I walked back, I pictured exactly where I was going to put it and how I was going to hit it. And as soon as the whistle went, I didn't even look at the keeper. I'll be honest, I didn't even look at the goals. It was that clear in my mind where I was going to put it, and it's exactly what I did.
The supporters. Score.
Oh, forget it. I went off there.
How big do you feel?
Huge. Huge.
Ma.
Huge. John. Yeah. Well, I lost my shirt. That was standard anyway.
That's standard for
that's
you,
standard.
Con.
Yeah.
That's in and out of nightclubs
yes,
as well.
They're correct. Right. They were back in the days too, Dave. But that day was brilliant. Back in the change room, it went off for quite a few days. It was brilliant. Loved it. That was huge.
Fondest memory now. Doesn't have to be playing. In your career, fondest memory, the moment you go, oh, geez, I love that. A fond memory there that you remember.
Oh, geez, that's a good one, Dave. Fond memory.
You spoke about Australia walking out on
the Yeah, UGU. Fond memory. Look, as a junior, I loved my soccer as a junior. Fond memory is jumping that fence at Preston South and knowing that I was going to be part of this great side and just being there and collecting the balls and just growing with that and growing with the club, you know, because that's initially what started the whole journey. And once I saw the ball, after a cup, I knew for a fact that I was going to play for this club and nothing else was going to stop me. No one was going to stop me, and that's exactly what happened.
If I took you to training on Friday and we went up to the under-12s and we saw a young Con Opocinus there, what would you say to a young Conopocinus today at 12 years of age or a young boy on Friday?
Yeah, I would just say to just enjoy what he's doing and enjoy it the most he can and to work hard and to respect his colleagues around him. But most importantly, just to enjoy his football at that age.
I think that's where we'll leave it. Colin, it's been an absolute pleasure having you.
I want to just say a cheerio to a few people.
Yeah, absolutely. Mate, you do. It's your show, Colin.
Thank you.
The Colin Hopper Show.
Thank you. I'd like to say a cheerio to my two kids, Nicholas and Isabella, my two beautiful sisters, Christine and Lisa, my lovely mum, and a cheerio to my lovely partner, Ilkner.
Thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you. Thanks, guys.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. It's been absolutely pleasure.
And thank you for the memories.
Thank you. Cheers.
That'll do it here on the Lions Den. Make sure you get down to Keilor on the weekend. But until next week, we are Preston.
Preston, Macedonia.
Speak on the left. Tries it from 40 metres. Oh, what a goal! John Markowski hammers one from 40. What a goal from this young dynamo. Near post City. It's in. And again, Warren Speak has a hand in it. Andrew Zinni scores the goal. Not only are the fans winning on the terraces, the team are winning on the pitch. Two goals in 2 minutes. 2-1 up, Preston Macedonia, and we've got an invasion on.
Roodhouse has made a good run from deep. Still Roodhouse getting that one across. Markowski. That's got to be the settler, surely.
One day we'll be back. One day we'll be back.
And the shot, what a goal! Oh, my Lord, what a finish there! Absolutely brilliant stuff!
Through ball for Spink. He's in the box. Back for Cole. Cole square. Here's a chance for Smith. Smith, yes, it's there. Spink, Cole, Smith. Smith doing the damage. 1-0.
Preston.